Appreciate that introduction, Trey. My name's Chase Samples. I'm a fourth-year PhD under Dr. Darren Dodds. And today we'll be I'll be discussing a three-year evaluation of herbicide injury in ExtendFlex cotton. So when we look at the adoption of ExtendFlex cotton across the Mid-South, it was first commercially available in 2015 to the growers across the cotton belt. Generally, across the Mid-South, we saw from 15 to 10%, with the exception being Tennessee, where 36% of the acres were planted in ExtendFlex in its very first year. However, when you fast forward to 2017, we see a tremendous increase in the number of acres planted in ExtendFlex technology, with Missouri coming in at right at 87.5%. When you look at Mississippi, Tennessee, and Arkansas, all of these were above 70%. Now, there's two primary reasons that I think that we see this tremendous shift in the adoption of ExtendFlex. One is the performance of the germplasm that is currently in ExtendFlex technology. If you look at any university across the Mid-South, typically the top third, even less than the top third of the varieties are in ExtendFlex technology platform. But also because of the weed control that dicamba brings to the table. So dicamba has already been shown to provide up to 90% control of glyphosate-resistant Palmer. It also aids in controlling other glyphosate-resistant species such as horseweed. And in Texas, where glyphosate resistance hasn't been an issue up until lately, it showed that controlled Palmer amaranth 97%, 36 days after application. So this is a tremendous tool for the growers in the Mid-South, as well as most of the Cotton Belt, to have in their toolbox right now in controlling glyphosate-resistant Palmer. But there's also drawbacks, and some of these drawbacks were in 2015 when we started this study. There were a tremendous amount of calls that came to Darren and other cotton specialists across the Mid-South that there was a lot of injury being observed by growers, and we really didn't know what was happening. And since the development of glyphosate-resistant Palmer, a lot of our early post-applications, particularly in the Mid-South and the Southeast, rely on several modes of action in a single application. This could contain S-metolachlor, glufosinate, glyphosate, and things of that nature. And the injury potential in ExtendFlex cotton at this time had not been further examined. So our objectives were to quantify differences in injury on 2 to 4 leaf cotton receiving applications of glyphosate, glufosinate, dicamba, and S-metolachlor alone or in combination with one another. And also we would like to evaluate their effects of these applications on cotton growth, development, and yield. So our hypothesis was that treatments containing glufosinate and S-metolachlor will have a higher level of injury in the ExtendFlex system than other treatments. And this hypothesis came to solely based on the calls that we received from growers. However, this injury will not have an effect on growth and development of cotton during bloom, and injury will not have an effect on cotton yield. So this experiment was initiated in 2015, and it's been complete. It's been ongoing for the last 3 years. Two locations, Starkville, Mississippi, at the RR4 Plant Science Research Center, and in Brooksville, Mississippi, at the Black Belt Branch Experiment Station. We had two locations every year. I will note that the Starkville location was fur irrigated all 3 years, while the Brooksville location was dryland. Our plot dimensions were 4 1-meter space rows that were 12.2 meters in length, and we had 4 replications of each plot, with the variety being Delta Pine 1522, which was highly adaptive for the area and can go across a broad selection of soil types and perform very well in the environment. Our application time was 2 to 4 leaf cotton. These applications were made with a CO2-powered backpack sprayer, calibrated to deliver 140 liters per hectare at 4.8 kilometers per hour walking speed. So here's your treatment combination list. The building blocks of every treatment that was applied in this study were glyphosate, glufosinate, S-metolachlor, or 3 different formulations of dicamba. All of these could be applied alone or in combination with one another. It could be a single herbicide in a treatment all the way up to a 4-way tank combination, and an example of this would be Ingenia plus glyphosate plus glufosinate plus S-metolachlor. Glyphosate was applied at 1.1 kilograms AE per hectare, glufosinate at 0.6 kilograms AI per hectare, S-metolachlor at 1.07 kilograms. Ingenia, all 3 formulations of dicamba were applied at 0.6 kilograms AE, We did include some premixes. This was solely to mimic what a grower would be doing in the field. And these were sequenced, which was glyphosate plus S-metolachlor, and its rate was 0.8 kilograms AE and 1.05 kilograms AI. And then Mon 76832, which I'm pretty sure will be named Roundup Extend, is 1.68 kilograms AE total between the two. So our rating intervals were 3, 7, 14, 21, 28, and 35 days after application. I'm only going to be speaking on 3, 7, 14, and 21 days after application, and also the other data I will be presenting are height at first bloom as well as end of the season, and then lint yield at the end of the year. This test was set up as an randomized complete block design. It was subject to ANOVA using the PROC mix procedure in SAS 9.4. Means were separated using Fisher's protected LSD. So as we move into the results and discussion, let me take a moment to set this slide up for you guys. Along the x-axis, we have the treatment in combination. Along the y-axis, we have percent injury. There's a whole lot of bars on here, boys, so I'm gonna really shorten this down to where you can really get to understanding what's going on. Just know that the range of injury was between 9 and 45%, depending on the treatment. So 3 days after application, you got the black lines indicate significantly higher levels of injury with those treatment when compared to the others. This graph is set up to show you that the building blocks of those treatments on your left and then the subsequents on your right. But what you do realize is that with these two, threes, and four-way combinations in this XtendFlex system, we're getting more than double the amount of injury than we were when we were applying these herbicides alone. And based on the Colby method, all of these are additive. So when we go a step further and we look at 7 days after application, you begin to see your level of injury decrease. However, the same treatments still stick out. And the one common denominator between all of them is that S-metolachlor is in the tank. The other common denominator between five of them is that glufosinate was in the tank with S-metolachlor. And again, 7 days after application, these treatments were observed to be additive when looking at based on the Colby method. So 14 days after, we're really starting to see this cotton begin to grow out of this injury. Just 14 days after application, we see that our range has changed. When we were going up to 45, now our highest is 16, our lowest is 0. But you still see the same treatments coming out. Glyphosate plus glufosinate plus S-metolachlor, Mon 76832 plus metolachlor, and then all the four ways. And again, the one common denominator is that glufosinate plus S-metolachlor is in the tank with all these treatments, and they're still over double what you were getting when you were applying these herbicides alone. And again, they were all additive based on the Colby method. So when we move into 21 days after application, again, the cotton is still growing out of this injury. This is 21 days after application. We see that our lowest amount of injury was around 3%, and our highest was still around 11. And it's still the same treatment, still giving us the highest level of percent injury 21 days after application. And again, they were all additive. However, at 28 days, this data is not shown, injury range from 3 to 7%, and there were still significant differences. But once we get to this 14 or below mark, this is something that growers are more comfortable with. When you see cotton burn 40% in the field, you wonder what you just did. It's more along. It's not like when you see something 15%, you're like, oh, it'll look better in 7 days. And what we really began to notice was where we were getting these higher levels of injury, upwards of 45%, 3 days after application, we could find that it was still affecting this cotton at first bloom based on heights. So the treatments that were upwards of 45% of crop injury typically had cotton that was up 8 centimeters shorter than the tallest. However, when we got to plant heights at the end of the season, it was still evident, but it was much less evident. We're talking about an inch difference, 2.4 centimeters. So across the field, you really couldn't see it. You had to see it with a ruler. But the take-home message is that at the end of the year, there were no significant differences in lint yield. Cotton yield across all 3 years ranged from 1,600 to 1,700 kilograms of lint per hectare. So in conclusion, five of the six highest injury levels were received Wingliphosonate and S-metolachlor were tank mixed, and this was evident at 3 days, 7 days, 14 days, and 21 days after application. Plant injury response was additive based on the Kobe method at all timings. Difference among treatments had completely diminished at 35 days after application. And crop injury was described primarily as necrosis with very little chlorotic symptomology. Further conclusion is that height was affected at bloom and at the end of the season by herbicide application. Generally, the greatest reductions in plant height at first bloom and at the end of the season were with treatments with the greatest level of injury. Yield was not significantly affected, however, and this agrees with findings by Dodds et al. 2013. So potential future objectives at Mississippi State would be the effects of droplet size on insecticide efficacy, as well as a rate response curve with glufosinate and S-metolachlor on Xtend Flex and Enlist cotton to really get to teasing out if it's the active or the inerts causing all the injury. And with that, I would like to thank my major professor, Dr. Darren Dodds, as well as my committee members, Angus Ketchot, Greg Kruger, Dan Reynolds, Trent Irby, Ty Fowler for partial funding of this research with Monsanto, graduate students and student workers. And with that, I'll take any questions.